Listen to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. We'd started teaching in a series in the Beatitudes. I'm glad we still got a Bible that's right tonight. I'm not looking for a new Bible. We need to live and preach out the one that the Holy Ghost has written for us. Matthew 5, chapter number 1. Before I preach tonight, Brother Randy Daniels, would you pray for me before I preach tonight, Brother? Help us. Amen. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Aren't you glad we got a God can say something to you tonight? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 that I'm interested tonight, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Thank you for standing in honor in the reading of the Word of God tonight. We have spoken days gone by on this Sermon of the Mount. Some have said it is the Beatitudes or the attitudes that ought to be. As we as children of God, how we need to have the right kind of attitude. Jesus was teaching His disciples and He opened His mouth and He said in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We looked at that in the light of being a needy creature. Oh, how we need God. He was not referring to those that financially had nothing. He was not referring to poverty, but He was referring to a brokenness, realizing that we need Him every hour of the day. And blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, God is against haughtiness. He's against pride. He's against attitude. If there's ever been a people that's been blessed, it is this generation tonight. We need to remember where our blessing has come from. I want to instruct you tonight with these words that I've seen through the years happen to families just like us sitting in this building tonight. You'll get faithful with God. You'll start serving Him. You'll get disciplined in the things of God, and God will start blessing you real good. If you're not careful, your blessing will take you away from God. Be careful to remember where your bread is buttered tonight. He said, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I sure am glad there is a kingdom of heaven tonight. But we looked at this word as blessed. It's a much deeper meaning than happiness. The word blessed implies a heavenly affection, a deep inward abiding joy that this world knows nothing about. Now in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I'd like to preach out of this thought tonight on blessed are they that mourn. As Jesus is instructing His disciples, He doesn't say, blessed are those that have popularity. Blessed are those that have great position. Or blessed are those that have a big personality. But He is saying, blessed are those that mourn. I can show you a lot of people that have popularity, possessions, and personality, but yet they're some of the most miserable people that this world knows anything about. Jesus is telling us that we would have an inward peace abiding in us if we would mourn. I want to remind you, he didn't say moan, but he said mourn. Now, this word here, mourn, is the deepest word found in our psalm. It is the word from the Greek that you and I felt at the graveside of a loved one. It is a strong word that means to lament. It's described in Psalms 34 and 18. Psalms 34 and 18, the psalmist David, in his writing, he simply said this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." This word means to mourn or to lament, to be sorry for. This world knows very little about godly sorrow. Now, notice something, and I want to share this with you by way of preaching. Turn in John 11:35, something that I had read from a man that really got my attention. John 11:35, we're talking about this word to lament, to weep, to be sorry for, to show action, a heart-touching situation, not just a head knowledge. But we look at the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11 and verse 35. Jesus wept. This is what I want to say to our church tonight. This word, Jesus wept. Do the things that break the heart of Christ break yours? As Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, and as Jesus looks around in your life and my life and in our town and your town, I wonder if things that breaks the heart of God, does it affect us tonight? One of the main things that we've learned not to do is to mourn or to be sorry for. I believe as a child of God that nobody will never get saved until they become sorry about their sin and their condition. There's a lot of people that have a head knowledge, but I believe the Bible teaches us of that of repentance, a godly sorrow. And I believe a man, woman, boy, and girl, before they get saved by the grace of God, they've got to be sorry about their sin. The old saying, a person has to get lost before they can get saved. Now, let's go, if we could, tonight in Matthew 5 and verse 21. And I won't be long at what I do, but I do want to share these thoughts with you on blessed are they that mourn. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said this in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, first of all, in Matthew 5:21, let's look at the guilt that convicts us. And Jesus here is instructing us, and he says in Matthew 5:21, he said, "You've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, lay there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thine gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." Now, what are you saying, preacher? Notice in verse 21 here, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not kill." And so we see here this guilt that convicts us in the Bible. We see this deceiving power of sin. I'm going to tell you, sin has deceived many people tonight. People are running rampant in America, and then they're killing and they're thugging and they're going on. But can I tell you, sin is still sin tonight. And Jesus is teaching us that our spirit and our heart ought to be grieved about this thing of sin. As a child of God, sin ought to bother us. It really affects me when I see people say that they are saved and they continue and carry on in a lifestyle of sin. Jesus is teaching us tonight that sin has a deceiving power. And not only this deceiving power of sin, but this defiling power of sin. Look in verse number 27. You've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And can I tell you that it seems like that the old timers were the only ones that preached that. But that kind of preaching is still right to our young people tonight. It's still in our Bible. And adultery is still sin in the eyes of God. The deceiving power of sin, the defiling power of sin. He says simply this, verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. There's the deceiving power of sin and the defiling power of sin. But then look at verse 29. There's the destroying power of sin. He said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Some hard teaching. Jesus is still talking about hell. We don't hear much about hell tonight. Thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus here, we see the guilt that convicts us. We were all sinners, guilty before God. But aren't you glad that when Jesus came to Calvary, the law becomes our schoolmaster and the law cannot save us, but the grace through faith can save us tonight and the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all of our sins. We should mourn about our sin. Does sin affect you? As a child of God, when we sin and do wrong, not only does it affect others, but it affects us and it affects God. And we need to realize we should be sorrowful. We should mourn when we sin and repent of that sin and turn from it. You see, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The guilt that convicts us, but secondly, the grief that consumes us. Have you ever got guilty over your sin? Have you ever seen yourself as a guilty sinner? Boy, I remember when God began to deal with me, I was so convicted and I was convinced about my sin. So here we find something in 2 Corinthians 7 in verse number 10. Not only the guilt that convicts us, but let's look at the grief that consumes us. Jesus is talking about blessed are they that mourn. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Underline this in your Bible. Keep it for reference. Always remember this. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's a big difference in regret, remorse, and repentance. And so Jesus says, not only this guilt that convicts us, but this grief that consumes us. Now notice this, He says, for godly sorrow, there's our word, worketh repentance. Mourning over our sin. Being sorry about our sin. Realizing that we were sinners.
I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm a good person. I don't need to trust Christ. Why did He die for me? Because we were all sinners. Christ died for all sinners. Paid a ransom for all. It's what our Bible teaches us. Now, let's look at Judas 1 second, and we want to pass through this. Matthew 27:3. Remember Judas Iscariot. He was chosen of the Lord, and he was a devil, what the Bible says. In Matthew 27, talk about godly sorrow worketh repentance. Let's look at the difference in regret and remorse and repentance. Matthew 27, verse number 3, the Bible picks up and tells us simply this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou of that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. Now, here Judas had a lot of regret. Judas had some remorse, but he didn't have repentance. Now, I want to say something tonight. Let's look at Simon Peter in Luke 22 and 54. Big difference in remorse and repentance. A lot of people just sorry they got caught. Now, I want to say a person with remorse is one who loves his sins and hates himself. But a person with repentance is one who hates his sin because he loves his Savior. We hate sin because we love the Savior. We don't want to offend Him. And we know that sin is damaging to us tonight. Sin never leaves you the way that it found you. And so this grief that consumes us, Luke 22:54. Not a greater Bible character in our Bible, far as I'm concerned, than Simon Peter. He lets us know that failure is not final. In Luke 22 and verse 54, let's look what Simon does. Then they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. They had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Peter sat down among them. He's sitting around the wrong fire tonight. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. You ever feel like you deny the Lord? You ever do things or say things that you wish you hadn't done and it breaks your heart and breaks your spirit about it? And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of an hour after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned, looked upon Peter. And here's our word. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and here it is, and wept bitterly. Blessed are those that mourn. Aren't you glad that we got a God tonight that when we do sin and do wrong and go against Him, and when we repent of that He will forgive us of our sin? Aren't you glad that God that lives in you and the God that lives in me, when we do wrong, it breaks our heart tonight? Before I say sin didn't affect me, it was a lot of times that I wished I hadn't got caught. But now when I do wrong, it grieves my heart and grieves my spirit. And I become sorrowful that I've sinned against my God. Now tonight, blessed are those that mourn. Something this world knows nothing about. This world don't blush anymore. This world advertises in front of your children the most godless society. Unless you keep them in a Bible preaching church, they're not going to know any difference. We've got to stand against sin. Let our young people and old people alike know that sin hurts us. Sin destroys us. Blessed are those that mourn. The guilt that convicts us, the grief that consumes us. David had true repentance. Psalms 51, David committed adultery. David was a man after God's own heart. Matter of fact, the psalmist David was one of the greatest men that God used in our Bible. And here we see a teaching in the Word of God about truly mourning, truly being sorrowful about his sin. Do you remember before you got saved that you wasn't sorrowful about your sin that much? But after you got saved, then you become sorrowful. You mourn about not only your sin, but the sins of others. Isn't that right tonight? David says, Psalms 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You know, I've noticed this as a child of God, after they sin, they just can't get away from it. It's just around you, on you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's why we are all sinners tonight. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in thy hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We should mourn about our sin. We should mourn about sinfulness. We should not be applauding America tonight. We should be on our face begging God to help our nation. Isn't it pitiful the mindset that our society has about sin, that everything is tolerance? Sin's still sin. God's still God. And there's still one way to heaven. It's not an option. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, tonight. Lastly, blessed are those that mourn. Not only the guilt that convicts us, the grief that consumes us, but thank God there is a God who comforts us. Once you see the guilt, once you feel the grief, then I sure am glad you know about grace. For by grace are you saved. Let's look at Romans 5, in verse number 1 tonight. Romans 5. And verse number 1. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm so glad that I got sorrowful about my sin. And nobody's going to make a change for Christ till they become sorrowful about their sin. Repentance worketh salvation. I still believe in repentance gospel tonight. Watch this, Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never get peace with the law. The law will let you be a good person, but you will fail the law. The law won't fail you. You'll fail the law. By whom also we have access, watch, by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patient experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's an amazing thing right there. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Tonight, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The guilt that convicts us, the grief that consumes us, but thank God there is a God that comforts us and will take us in by His Son. Have you ever been saved? Miss Sherry, would you come to the piano for me just a second tonight, please, sister? And I wish you'd just play something softly. Lord, we had a powerful service this morning at